It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, this is Aaron, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Realms of Trinity, and a member of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian, Neverwinter Nights Podcast, and the Realms of Trinity.
This is Tony, a.k.a. Andarian, from the Academy for Modding Excellence.
And this is Tyler, a.k.a. Tyve, for the Academy for Modding Excellence, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
And you're listening to the 156th episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Well, today, this episode, we're going to go unveil the 2010 AMA Golden Dragon Awards. Tybe and Adarian are going to join us to actually discuss that and all the exciting changes at the AME regarding different things with their structure and bringing new people in, all kind of good stuff. So we're going to get to that after the news. And in Neverwinter Nights 1, Aron's got some stuff to cover.
Yes, in Neverwinter Nights 1, there was a custom content challenge in December. And the topic was winter stuff. First off, we'd like to thank everybody who participated in this, because this is what keeps the Neverwinter Nights community strong and growing. For the various participants, Katis Day made a Snow Flurry and Snow Fury creatures. Dragoth 28 made a Polar Bear and Winter Wolf Mount creatures. Mistress made Winter Load Screens. Rubies made Snuggly Balls of Death creatures, which... who doesn't want Snuggly Balls of Death?
Or become a Wish Fairy.
This is true. Tarot Red Hand, you toolbag. Tarot Red Hand made two different things. The first was Frosty Ground Placeables, and the other thing was Frozen Book Icon. For when you want to make sign where it looks like an entire castle was frozen, need the books. The Amethyst Dragon made snowshoe, clothing, items, and placeables. 1 foot parth for both Phenos, 1 item icon on the ground model, and 3 placeables. Vibrant Penumbra made snow modules placeables. And now Brian has Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yes, we do, Ben. We have a new module open for beta testing. It's called the Neil Trilogy, Chains of Misfortune by Seraphim Sage. Here's his notes that he has on it. It says, thanks to Alpine testers Camille Akerzelf and Captain Zombie Yeti for their help, I finally reached to the point where the beta version, which includes the last parts of the mod up for the ending seeds, is now ready. Now that the beta is released, more help is needed to iron out the last bugs and other missed sightings that remain, and some that may have been introduced. So if time allows, he would appreciate if any new or old testers can do a playthrough of this mod to help identify those issues before it's released. As always, credit will be given to those who do. And if you get a chance to help these guys out over there on this module, it looks really cool, and it's really well done, so definitely check it out and jump in to do some beta testing so we have a really good module out there to iron it out. And we have one more thing. We have a new model, Lions, Tigers, and Bears by Dan Pigdom. And the pack includes tenable lion, tiger, and bear models that were white by default. Tiger and lion skins originally by Hellfire and Cypher, and are parts of Cypher's Companions pack. So once again, another expansion to the Neverwinter Nights 2 models is coming in already this new year, which is great because this is one of the topics that we've talked extensively last year throughout our podcast, and even had the model contest to expand the number of models for Neverwinter Nights 2. So it's definitely great to see all these new models being put in and all that. So definitely thanks to everybody who's been putting an extra leg in.
Definitely.
Well, with that, let's get into the interview. The AME Golden Dragon Awards 2010 with Tybe and Adarian. Well, hey, thanks, Tony and Tybe, for coming on the show talking about 2010 awards and a whole bunch of stuff about the Academy for Modding Excellence.
It's great to be here again.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you in Zonius. Guys do a lot for the community, and you know, it's great to get you on and be able to talk about all the stuff that you've been doing over the last year. I think the last time you were on was episode 129 with Jay and Trey, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been a while. He's got a lot going on. Yeah, to get started, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you got started with the Academy of Modding Excellence and what it is, and how you been since last year? What stuff have you been working on other than the actual Academy for Modding Excellence?
Sure. I'll start off with that. This is Andarian, and I got actually involved with the Academy for Modding Excellence around the time it was being founded back in the summer of 2007. I guess it was around May or June. And some of the folks, basically the AME got started as sort of as an offshoot from the Reviewers Guild. A number of the folks over at the Reviewers Guild wanted to try and put together an organization that did actual awards, sort of as a takeoff on the Academy Awards for Neverwinter Nights modding. And, there was some discussion about it on the back on the old BioWare forums at the time. And I got an email from the founding members of the AME asking me to join, and I've been involved ever since then.
Yeah, I'm kind of along the same lines as Tony. I started out, I was invited during the 2006 cycle, which would have been 2007, so shortly after they were founded. And I didn't really become very active until the following year, just because that year I kind of came on right as they were finishing up all the nominations and starting on the finals. But and I too received a message from I think it was Ben WH. He sent me a message asking me to join the Academy for Modding Excellence, and I accepted, and it was kind of tentative at first, but once I got into it, I just couldn't stop. So
yeah, the basically that's the format of the AME. The idea was to try and identify a number of awards to be given out for people doing modding for Neverwinter Nights. After the first year, we expanded it to include modding for Neverwinter Nights 2, as well as Neverwinter Nights 1 when Neverwinter Nights 2 came out, and we've basically been going ever since then.
Yeah, you've been doing a great job too. I mean, your website's awesome looking, and you know, really easy to navigate through, and has a ton of information about all the stuff that you've done over the years. Yeah, it looks really cool, and you know, people really should, if you listen to the podcast, check it out. The link will be in the show notes as well to that.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. So to get back to your question about sort of what's been going on since last year, I think the last time we were on was in probably around the fall of 2010, when we were talking about the 2009 awards. And one of the things that we did over the last year actually was to make some significant changes to the AME's guidelines, to sort of did a little bit of a reorganization. What we were finding was that we were having more and more difficulty getting members to join and sort of sustain the effort necessary to do all of the awards that we were doing. And, you know, we had a pretty ambitious set of awards every year that we were trying to award, and getting enough people to do testing and to vote and to get involved in discussions for all of that was turning out to be a bit of a challenge. So this year what we decided to do was take a little bit of a new approach to that. Rather than in the past, what we had always done was we had a schedule, that here are the awards we're going to do, here's the time frame we're going to be doing the voting, here are the people we'd like to look at these at the different categories, and here, okay, you've got all your assignments, go out and let's get working on it. And that was difficult in terms of trying to get people to work with their very challenging schedules. Sometimes people wouldn't have the time to work when the schedule was expecting them to. So we went instead to a model that basically says, well, okay, here are the awards. Here's sort of the criteria that we've laid out for how much work has been done is needed to be done before we can say, okay, we're ready to award this this award. And we'll just have members do the work on the time that they feel that they can. If they have time to do it later in the year, or if they have the time to do it earlier or whenever, we'll just keep racking up nominations and keep collecting votes until we get to a point where we can say, okay, this is ready to go to the finals, and this is ready to go for being awarded. So that's the big change that we've made in the for the AME this year. This whole idea that instead of pressuring people into you've got to do things in this time frame, which was very difficult for a lot of people to work with, we just said, do what you can when you can on your own schedule, and it gets done when it gets done.
Yeah, and that's sort of something that we were going towards the year before, when I was chairman, we had a lot of sort of participation issues, and we kept pushing the awards back and pushing the awards back and pushing the awards back, and just kind of basically issuing the awards as we go seemed to be the next logical step.
Yeah, and when you say participation issues, you mean like not having enough to actually review, or not enough reviewers to be able to do all the stuff that had to be done?
Both.
Yeah,
really.
It's a little bit of both. And we also, last year we had changed the awards from, we had a bunch of awards we called core awards, which we felt that were awards that should be issued over certain other awards that were non-core. And the core and non-core awards were voted on by majority by the members. And that sort of led into, kind of whittling down the workload a little bit.
You've been mentioning that there's a lot of issues with having enough reviewers. So I take it you're looking for new members?
Absolutely. The AME is recruiting. We've been recruiting aggressively since probably about March, April of last year. And, one of the ideas behind the new guidelines was to try and switch the AME around more to a model where we had a larger number of members than we have in the past, but that each member would have a smaller workload, a workload that was more amenable to the spare time that they had available. So one of the key things about this was, instead of saying, let's try and get a small number of people and get a lot of work out of them, try and get more a larger number of people to join the AME. And so we've been recruiting very aggressively and really making a pitch for the idea that, you can join the AME and, do what you have time for when you have time for it. Not the vast majority of the people that we contacted came back to us with, this sounds great, I would love to do it, but I just don't think I have the time. And so now basically what we've been trying to say is, well, whatever time you have, if you don't have, if you join and you only have time to do one thing, that's one thing more than we had from you before. And we've got an organization now where we can, basically work with and handle having a larger number of members. And I think that's working out pretty well.
Yeah.
And we've gotten over 10 members in the last year to join on that model.
That was definitely pretty big there. I didn't mean to step on you there.
No, that's fine. No, I was just going to say, so for the people who heard that and are getting interested, what would you recommend they do?
They can what they can do is they can log on to our website, which will be in the show notes, and sign up for an account on the forum, and send Andarian a message, and you can CC me if you like. I'm no longer the chairman, but I'm still a forum admin, so either way it can work. But one caveat to that is we've been having issues with SMF as admin, so we've been having a lot of bots come in, so we've been having to manually approve accounts, and that has nothing to do with us policing. It has to do with actual limitations of the forum system.
I'm sorry, let me just interject on that. The way to really get through to us is to either send Taibei or myself an email message, and I'll be happy to give you our contact information. I actually had to turn registration off on the forums completely. The attacks were getting so bad. We were just even if you set the forums so that an administrator would have to review requests, we were getting scores of requests per week at one point, and we just had to turn off registration completely. So now what we do is, if you contact either one of the two of us, Ty or myself, and you can contact me at Andarian at ame-gda.net. We'll actually create an account for you, and then you can log into it and change your password and all that stuff. But basically, if you're anyone who's interested in information about the AME, if you go to our website, we have a link to a PDF file that describes the new guidelines in some detail, so that you can get an idea of exactly how we operate and what we do. And we found that the easiest way is just ask us for an account, get you to log on, log in and see what we do, how we operate. Go to the our new member information center and ask some questions. We found that folks come onto the AME and after a week, they're hooked and want to get involved with whatever time they have.
Yeah, and my contact info is Taibei40. It's TYBAE40@gmail.com. So you can either contact either one of us. I'm also on the BioWare social network. But I don't check that as often as I should. The best way probably is to get a hold of me is through email. Also, you know, I think we've hit roadblocks as well with people who think, oh, you know, the Academy for Modding Excellence, you have to be a modder, you have to be an author, you have to be a CC creator to be a member. And that's just completely not true. And I'm living proof of that. I've never released a module. I've worked on some custom content here and there. Some images that really, you know, the projects never really got off the ground. I really haven't done a whole lot in the community besides AME, and AME is really my way of giving back to the community that's giving me so much.
Yeah, and another thing too, I mean, you bring up a really good point about not having to be a, you know, actual custom content creator or a modder or something. A lot of times when you're the actual modder or you have that mindset because you've been developing content, you don't look at things as a player would. You know, a lot of times they have that fresh perspective or the player perspective, strictly player perspective when they're reviewing content, which actually gives you better results for, you know, if you're really trying to get a community feel into the organization, that really does help in a way.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's actually one of the things that we strive for in the AME. We basically have a sort of a three-pronged approach to AME membership. We look for modders and developers. We look for people who are experienced reviewers, and we look for experienced players. And we try to, as much as possible, have a sort of a broad mix of all three different types of participants, because we find that each one of them brings a different, as you said, a different perspective and a different focus. The players bring a player focus, and, you know, sometimes, you know, jog the, you know, modders like myself out of the sort of preconceptions that we have about things. And, you know, the reviewers, you know, with a lot of experience at looking at different at different works and reviewing them, we'll have a different perspective. The meshing of all three of those perspectives gives our awards deliberations a lot of, richness. And I've definitely found from that, you know, having deliberations, having discussions with other folks, and then learning perspectives that didn't, you know, that weren't really occurring to me from the perspective that I approach, you know, modding from. So I think that that's a really, you know, important thing.
Yeah, that absolutely agreed. And, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, when I first joined, I was just the player perspective. And then now it's completely different. I'm looking at the lighting in the areas. I'm looking at how the tiles were laid. I'm looking at all the placeables that they've used. I'm looking more closely at the dialogue. You know, I'm going back and clicking on a whole bunch of things when I'm testing things just to, you know, see if there's different responses for each thing you click in a dialogue, that kind of stuff. But, you know, and then the other guy, you know, just comes in and says, you know, this was a really good module. I don't care if the lighting was like this, or I don't care if the lighting was bad, or I don't care if that placeable didn't really make sense. But, you know, the story was the thing that got me. And it just kind of, you know, knocks you down a little bit, and, you know, not in a bad way, but in a good way, saying, you know, giving you saying, you know what, maybe I am being a little too critical.
Yeah, definitely. I really like the way you have it set up, because that really does give really good results. And, you know, you're really looking into stuff too. Like how the module, like you said, clicking around, you know, seeing about the dialogues and seeing kind of the options that you get, because that's when you get so many different developers of content, sometimes it's the level of detail that sets one content creator from another, apart from another, that I've seen too. You know, the level of detail, quality, you know, what options you have, and that's the whole purpose of doing something like that.
Yeah, and just to give another example of that, I mean, as a modder, I will sometimes look at you know, someone's work and go, "Wow, that's great! I didn't think of doing that. I should do something like that too. Look at what he did here. This is really great." And then someone else will come along and say, "Yeah, but it wasn't fun. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fun to play."
Yeah, right. That's true.
Oh yeah, I guess that's important too, isn't it? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of a. You know, it's really great that you know, they could come up with something like this, but did it really add value? And that's where the gaming perspective comes from.
Well, with all that information, let's get to the meat and potatoes. A lot of people have been waiting for the coverage of the actual awards for the 2010 AME Golden Dragon Awards. Feel free to go into them in the categories.
All right, well, I'll start off with the Neverwinter Nights 1 Awards. First being the Neverwinter Nights 2010 Community Contribution Award. Now, the Community Contribution Award is issued to people who just basically contribute to the community, what they bring to the table. And, you know, it can be anything from an individual to a contest to hack packs, things like that. So the nominees for this year that made the finals are the Neverwinter Nights podcast, the Custom Content Challenge, and Chico 400's Neverwinter Nights CQ. And the winner is... the Custom Content Challenge. Now, I hadn't even heard of the Custom Content Challenge, and then it was nominated, and I was checking it out, and it was really, really awesome. I think it really lit a new spark amongst some custom content creators that have maybe, thought about leaving the game or just, not really creating any more custom content. And then, some people got together and just decided to, hey, let's make this custom content challenge. And that was just really awesome for the community. And it's really put a lot of really, really good work out there.
And they're still going strong. I mean, every month they come up with another challenge. They get a bunch of people together.
Yeah, we interviewed the Amethyst Dragon on the last episode. And he has provided a lot for the last two specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, really, in my opinion, it kind of single-handedly brought a lot of fire back into the community and a lot more activity that to a community that was, sort of not, I don't want to say dying, but, just kind of getting a little low on the tide, I should say.
Oh, yeah. It's a smorgasbord. No doubt about that. Oh, yeah. There's all kind of good stuff in there.
Next award that we issued was the Neverwinter Nights 1 2010 Veteran Author Award for modules. And this is for any author who's contributed modules in at least two different years in our cycles and been active in the community and continuing to create modules for the community. And so the Veteran Author Modules Award, the nominees were Baldacaran, which is the one I butchered, Fabian Cerruti, and Andarian. And the winner is... Andarian. Now, with this comes the caveat of, Andarian is the chairman for the ME. How can he, be involved in the award system? Well, we do have a policy that if your work is nominated, that you completely abstain from the category completely. And then if your work or you make the finals, that you're also barred from voting in that category whatsoever. So it would go down to, we have a team leader for Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2, and basically all the decisions would be made by the Neverwinter Nights 1, what we call them, vice chairmans now. And so, we can't, Andarian, Tony, couldn't vote for himself. He couldn't nominate himself. So, and then it was just completely done by our peers. And the reason why Tony won the award is just, for Sanctum of the Archmage, and he's just been diligently working on and updating and creating a new one. When's it going to be out? Poke, poke.
the next update should be out in a couple of months.
Awesome. Yeah, and and he's just been really diligently working on the series and adding to it, adding more value to it, adding ProQ to it, adding even more custom content just to make it really his vision of how the story should be.
I just wanted to say a couple of things about my competitors there, because winning this award against with Baldacaran and Fabian Cerruti, two of the finest module builders in the ever in the Neverwinter Nights community. But Baldacaran is the author of I'm thinking in particular of course the Prophet series.
Yeah, the Prophet series.
Fabian Cerruti, of course, the Bartard of Kosigan modules. Really some of the finest work that's ever been done in the Neverwinter Nights community, and they really deserve a tremendous amount of credit for the work that they've done.
I'd have to agree. It was definitely in good company.
Yeah, I'll say this, just from us covering the modules, I know the Sanctum of the Archmage is definitely one of the best that I've seen. I mean, the other ones are great, too, but I've looked in... Well, I'm a Neverwinter Nights 2 guy, so I don't get a chance to play one a lot, but I did look at your module, and it is awesome and
Thank
highly
you.
Detailed. Yeah, It's definitely awesome work, man.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So next award we have handed out this year is the 2010 Veteran Author Award for Custom Content. So we decided to split the Veteran Author Award into two categories just because it was just getting too big for its own. So we decided to split it up into modules and custom content because each one really deserved a category of its own. Just because there was just so many people that were so deserving of having this award. And, you know, how do you really compare the work of a custom content creator to the work of a module creator when they, you know, one really can't exist without the other. So we just decided to separate the two and give them both their own award. So the nominees for Neverwinter Nights 1 2010 Veteran Author Award for Custom Content are Lord of Worms, Sixes Thrice, and Helveen. And the winner is Sixes Thrice.
Yeah, Sixes Thrice is an absolute awesome content creator. We've had him on the show several times since we've done the podcast, and yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, and he's extraordinarily talented. His ability to just to come out with phenomenal work. I mean, there hasn't been a year in the last 3 years that he hasn't come out with something fantastic. And that was one of the reasons why a lot of us thought that he really deserved the Veteran Author Award this time around.
Yeah, and again, he's amongst elite company as well. I mean, Lord of Worms' work that he's put out is he puts out absolutely amazing tile sets, and Helveen is just, you know, one of the better custom content creators out there. It's just, you know, in my personal opinion, he's Sixes Thrice is just, you know, he's put himself sort of ahead of the rest, just in the way that he gets the detail into his custom content, especially his tile sets. You know, it's like, how do you even get that kind of detail with the pixel limitations of Neverwinter Nights? And he seems to do it and do it again and outdo himself every single time.
And then his work has a very, what I found to be a very solid artistic focus, where, you know, it's not just that he's doing highly detailed work, but he thinks about things like the color schemes and the way that they convey a mood in the resources, the tile sets that he's creating, putting them together deliberately, not just to make something look nice, but to make something that can be used by a modder, create a specific kind of effect, a specific kind of mood, a specific kind of feel. I'm actually using a number of his tile sets in the next chapter of the Sanctum of the Archmage series, and I'm finding very much that it fits that perfectly. I mean, I'll look at one tile set and say, I see the mood that he's going for with this particular set of tiles. I know exactly how to create. This fits exactly what I wanted to create here. And it's more than just making something that looks nice. It's making something that creates an artistic feel as well.
And he also thinks about things of, you know, when the builder uses them, do these tiles fit together? It's not just a hodgepodge of tiles just put together just because all the tiles look pretty. They actually all work with each other very well and very cohesively, and it makes building an area fairly easy. All right, so, and then leading into that, the next award that we have issued this year is the Neverwinter Nights 1 Best Tile Set. And Best Tile Set's been around, I think, ever since the inception of the AME. You know, we obviously can't build a module without tiles, and some people's work is just, you know, better than others. And these nominees are no exception to that rule. And the nominees this year are Sixes Thrice for Wildwoods, Sentimentalist Underdark Tile Set, and Zwerkle's Roman City Tile Set. And the winner is Sixes Thrice for Wildwoods. And, you know, again, I think Sixes Thrice has won this award 3 years running. But, you know, again, he's you know, outdone himself again with Wildwoods, which kind of ties into Wildlands, his winner from last year. But in my opinion, this year he had much. This year, I really think that Sixes Thrice had a lot more stiff competition, because the Underdark tile set is really, really awesome, even though it's not quite finished. But, you know, in its state right now, it is an extremely good tile set, and it can be used, you know, pretty much right away, even though it's, you know, got a few unfinished parts. I mean, the parts that are finished is just really awesome. And the Roman City tile set, I was blown away when I saw that Roman City tile set. It was really, really awesome. And I could see it adding a lot of value to a lot of modules. But, you know, again, Wildwoods, in my opinion, just kind of went that little extra mile that Sixes Thrice almost always seems to do. And just the detail of everything and the ambiance of everything. And I think it's, you know, the way he talks about it, like, hey, you know, I talked to him, hey, you know, how did you do this? And he goes, you know what, I just threw a bunch of hodgepodge of pixels together in Photoshop and it ended up looking like that. I'm like, really? I hate you. So basically doing all this by accident. That's awesome.
Oh yeah.
And it feel a little like Salieri sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just to add one or two other thoughts on that. As Ty said, all three of these were really exceptional tile sets. The last 2 years, maybe even the last 3 years, have been extraordinary years for tile sets, but all three of these were really phenomenal. And the Roman City tile set actually was an outgrowth of the custom content challenge. It was something that Zwerkules threw together, or I think it was the November 2010 custom content challenge. But in my opinion, I mean, this is just speaking personally, I think that Wildwoods is the finest tile set I've ever seen in my life, without exception. And that was the reason why I supported it for the award here. I just think it's that good.
Yeah, and I said the same thing about Wildlands last year. So he just seems to one-up himself all the time. All right.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, and you know what? I think it's a great thing. It's kind of like, you know, when Tiger Woods joined the PGA and he became so good, he upped everybody else's game. And I think kind of that's sort of same situation that Sixes Thrice seems to do with the rest of the community, that he ups his game, which forces everybody else to sort of, you know, meet or exceed what he's doing.
Yeah, competition's always good. No doubt about that.
Absolutely. And, it creates better stuff and, you know, better stuff. And it just benefits the community in the end, because then now we all have better stuff to work with. And then we've added a new section to the Neverwinter Nights 1 awards, and that we've decided. We've added a new section to the Neverwinter Nights 1 awards, which is called the Special Recognitions Awards, where these are awards that we are issuing to authors for modules and module series that expand the entirety of Neverwinter Nights rather than just limited to our own years, which is, you know, the 2009-2010 award years. And it says where it's both of us. So if you wanted to speak on that a bit.
Sure. The idea was, partly because Neverwinter Nights 1, while there still seems to be an unusual and really surprising amount of interest and enthusiasm for the game, is over a 10-year-old game now. And the thought here was sort of, well, new work is slowing down, especially new module work is slowing down in terms of release. There's not that much new work being put out in comparison to previous years. And the idea behind the Special Recognition Awards was to say, Neverwinter Nights 1 is coming toward the end of its life cycle. Let's, at the end, do basically a retrospective of the entire history of Neverwinter Nights 1, coming out with some awards that say, you know, look back on the whole history of the whole game, and not just new works. And to be fair, there was a certain amount of self-serving thought in there too, which is that it's much easier to find great work to nominate if you can look through the entire history of Neverwinter Nights rather than just in the current year. So the three awards are that we've got in process right now, and these are basically open for nomination. Nominations and votes on the nominations are being taken right now, but none of them have actually made the finals yet, are Coffee Break module. And the idea behind that is sort of best short module, you know, about an hour or under, something to play on your coffee break. Best module series, basically looking at module series that are developed through the history of Winter Night and pick out, outstanding module series for recognition. And original setting, which is to look at module series from the perspective of creating original IP or intellectual property, creating a not just taking a setting that someone else has, but actually creating a whole new world. And because we've had a number of really extraordinary works in Neverwinter Nights 1 that have done that, have not just been exercises in great world making and gaming, but have been exercises in creating a whole new setting, a whole new world, and we wanted to have a category to recognize those.
Yeah, and to add to that a little bit, you know, when we're thinking about these special recognitions awards, they didn't really just come up by chance. That we, you know, we had a lot of discussion amongst the members on, you know, what the criteria would be for everything, like best module series. Does the module series have to be a finished series? You know, how many modules are we talking about? How much time are we talking about? You know, that type of thing. And, you know, all of those things were pretty much left up for debate. And, you know, and now we're just sort of going in under the criteria that we've voted on as a membership.
So hopefully we'll be in a position to announce some of the finalists in these categories in the near future. Just to clarify something with regard to the new guidelines, what we do basically is a review every 3 months, you know, a quarterly review. And the idea is that we look at the votes and the nominations that have accumulated, and we have a sort of set of criteria. How many nominations does a category have before it can qualify to go to the finals? How many votes does a nomination have to have before we consider it enough that people have given it a reasonable look, and so on. And so on a quarterly basis, and our next review will be at the end of March, we'll look at these categories, and if they have enough nominations and enough votes on the nominations, they'll go to the finals, and then we'll be able to announce the finalists.
Cool, that's excellent. Yeah, let us know, you know, whenever you get to that point.
Yeah, when you think of module series, I mean, over the course of Neverwinter Nights, I mean, how many just outstanding module series have you played? And I've played dozens of them, literally. And it's just, you know, hard to decide one from the other, you know, a lot of times, because, you know, each author has their own way of telling the story and doing their modding and their dialogue and everything. And, you know, choosing between, you know, yes, they are both modules for Neverwinter Nights, but it's apples and oranges.
Yep, totally.
Okay, so move along to the last part of the set of announcements, I'll be doing the Neverwinter Nights 2 finalists. And I say finalists because one of the things that we've had a little bit more of a challenge with in terms of recruiting members is recruiting members for Neverwinter Nights 2. We have a good, solid group of Neverwinter Nights 1 members, but we've had a little bit of a challenge recruiting Neverwinter Nights 2 members. And so I want to, at the outset of talking about this, I'd like to sort of issue a special exhortation and appeal to folks. If you're a Neverwinter Nights 2 modder or player or reviewer, or, you know, if you're familiar with Neverwinter Nights 2 and you think you might have even just a little bit of time to help out the Academy for Modding Excellence, we would love to have you join. We've sort of been at a point for the last 6 months where we've got a bunch of categories that are right on the edge, like one more vote and we can put them into the finals, and they've been sitting there for, you know, 3 or 6 you know, months waiting for that. And we just need, you know, a couple of more people to help to start a cascade of Neverwinter Nights 2 works to get through the system. So these are the categories that went from the into the finals last year during the course of 2011. And these were the categories that have gone to the finals, and now we have new categories for 2011 works here. But none of these have been awarded yet. They're all waiting for enough votes to accumulate in the finals phase before we can say enough people have voted. Now we can award them. So with that, I'll take the categories. The first one is actually a joint category. This one is our joint Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 Best Sound and Music Award. And the reason why we do it jointly is because there really isn't any difference between in sound and music in Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2. It's basically the same technology. So there was no real reason to distinguish between Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 for sound and music.
That, and I don't mean to interrupt, Tony, but that, and also the way they're coded on the vault, when you're looking for best sound and best music, there isn't, they can't distinguish between Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2. When you're just searching for music files, it's just music files. And right. It just depends on, you know, what the author has put out and what they intended to use it for. So we really couldn't differentiate between the two because they're not coded that way.
That's true too. And the in practice, this award has almost entirely gone for music, although there has been some discussion of, you know, doing some nominations for sound, but in practice it's really been mostly music. And we have several different types of musical nominations. One is we can nominate an individual work, an individual track for the award. There's also a nomination that can be done for what we call composer body of work, which is basically you take a composer and you nominate all of the works that they put out in a particular year for the award. So the finalists in the Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 Best Sound Music Award are Christopher Escalante, and that's a composer body of work nomination for his 2009 tracks, of which he has quite a large number on the vault, actually. Travis Dark Lord Snaith Richards, again, another composer body of work nomination. And Travis has had some, he's been very prolific on the vault for several years. And I think he's been nominated more than once and has had some really good work out there for quite a while. And the third is an individual track nomination for a track called Outcast by J. Wildfire Town from his Rise of the Soulless collection. So as I said, these three are in the finals right now for our joint categories, and hopefully in March we'll be able to announce a winner.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we personally work with Travis Richards on our Persistent World. We use a lot of his stuff, and he's composed stuff for us as well. They do a lot of work. He provides stuff for a lot of different projects too, like Tom Logue's Neverending Night series and his Dark Tide series. They do a lot of custom, music tracks for those as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned one other thing, which is that with regard to both Christopher and Travis's work, the next update that I'm doing for Sanctum of the Archmage, which is a major update that's going to be bringing in a lot more custom content, a lot more of the original lore for the Sanctum universe. And also to bring in Project Q custom content and things of that sort. The soundtrack has been significantly upgraded, I was just saying a couple moments ago that the soundtrack Sanctum 3 and for the revision that I'm doing to bring in Project Q for the next version, the V4 update that I'm coming out with early this next year, I've done a significant amount of work in expanding the soundtrack, and a lot of Christopher Escalante and Travis Richards' work is in that track, in that soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Travis, Snaith is around everywhere, and so many people use his music along with Christopher Escalante, and they've both been around for a while, and they both put out really good stuff. But for me, since I'm not really a builder of any real measurable worth, what's difficult for me for this category is when you listen to a track and it sounds sort of, mm-hmm. Like simple, or you don't quite get it, and then a lot of times it has to do with actually hearing the track in a setting,
yes,
and seeing what kind of mood that brings. So that's why this award is a little more difficult for me. Even with movies, like you listen to the soundtrack of a movie and you're like, well, for example, when Daft Punk and the new Tron movie, I had the soundtrack, and I'm going through and I'm listening to the soundtrack. I'm like, this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And you watch the movie and, the setting. Okay, I get it now. It fits the setting. And that's why it's sort of so difficult for me, that I can't really picture it in the setting. I'm just kind of listening to the track on its own.
So to go on to the next category, the Neverwinter Nights 2 2009 to 2010 Best Role-Playing Module. And this is an example of one of the categories that we actually did emerge in. We didn't have enough nominations in 2009. We did get enough 2009 and 2010 nominations to send this category to the finals, and it is in the finals right now. And the three nominees are The Maimed God Saga by Tiberius 209, Dark Waters 3 by Adam Miller, and Trinity by EC Patterson and Gaming Parent Studios. My experience with playing Neverwinter Nights 2 modules recently has not been what it was in the past, but we have had other members who've worked on this a great deal more. But there really were, it seemed, a fair number of good role-play modules from the 2009-2010 time frame. And the only one of these that I've had experience with is Dark Waters, is the Dark Waters trilogy. And Adam Miller's work basically is solid on just about every criteria that you would want to look at. I mean, and in fact, Dark Waters has been nominated in several different places in our deliberations as a result.
Yeah, he has definitely put a lot of good quality stuff together. I've looked over his modules as well, and yeah, certainly very solid. You know, Trinity, on the, they've done a great job too. I remember when I first see, it's funny because our server's Realms of Trinity for Neverwinter Nights 2. And whenever we were doing the, you know, putting our YouTube video up, I seen it was associated to ours. I was like, what's that? I was like, I didn't put that out there, you know. So I start looking at it. I was like, man, that looks pretty good. I said, they did a great job on that. I'm just looking from their YouTube video. I didn't actually check out the module, but it's certainly just from the, how well they put the trailer to it. It just, it looked really inviting.
You know, I don't really play a whole lot of Neverwinter Nights 2 stuff, but I have played the first couple Dark Waters by Adam Miller, and I was a huge Adam Miller fan from Neverwinter Nights 1, and when he moved to Neverwinter Nights 2, I really wanted to, you know, get into it again, but I was limited by my computer, which I'm no longer done. I'm no longer there now, so maybe I'll get a little bit more into it and contribute a little more to the Neverwinter Nights 2 side.
Okay, so then the next Neverwinter Nights 2 award is the 2009 Veteran Author Award. And in this case, we didn't break out the Veteran Author Award in Neverwinter Nights 2, partly because we were having fewer nominations in that area. So in theory, it would encompass both modules and custom content, but all of our nominees for 2009 are, in fact, modders. And the nominees are Marcus Wayne Schlegel, Azen, and John McKay. Now, Marcus is well known for Pool of Radiance, and I'm again drawing a blank on his 2009 Hunt Through the Dark, of course. And he's been a really prolific really good quality modder. And I actually had the privilege of meeting him a couple of years ago at the BioWare Builders event that they held in 2009. And in addition to being an extremely talented modder, he's really a very nice guy. John McKay, another modder who came from Neverwinter Nights 1 to Neverwinter Nights 2, and who's been building the Conan Chronicles modules, really very well done, and very good at capturing very good at dramatization, and which is, you know, one of my big high points for when I evaluate modules. I look for good drama, and the Conan Chronicles modules are really very good at that. And Azen, who I believe was the winner for our debut author award for Asphyxia, again a very talented modder, and who came out with another module in 2009 called Live Forever, which has gotten some very good reviews.
Yeah, and then John McKay, you know, he wrote in Neverwinter Nights one of my favorite series was the Sands of Fate series for basically a add-on to Hordes of the Underdark. You use your same character for Hordes of the Underdark, and Sands of Fate was one of my favorite things to do after my character went through Hordes of the Underdark. So that's if you haven't played Neverwinter Nights 2 and you're a Neverwinter Nights 1 guy, if you know, you would know him from Sands of Fate series.
Right, and actually, I'm talking about folks with a lot of folks with a Neverwinter Nights 1 experience as well. I think Tiberius also was the author of Salaron's Gambit. We talked about, you know, a couple moments ago, the author of the Mame God Saga, the role-playing module finalist. And the final category that we have to talk about is the Neverwinter Nights 2 Best Storytelling Module of 2009. And the nominees there are Serene by Tesongo, Sands of Solvale 3 by Wraith Veldrin, and again, Dark Waters 3 by Adam Miller. And again, the only one of these that I've personally played was, the Dark Waters series. Adam Miller's is solid on everything, but one of the things I was struck by in the Dark Waters series is the complexity of the story that the modules are set in. He basically created a whole saga, a whole story, and which was very much a mystery in the early parts of the series. I'll say a couple of things. One, the individual who nominated Sands of Solvale 2 commented on the very much a feeling that it was a good storytelling module that also brought the story through, not just in the traditional way of doing that with conversations and books and text, but that the story really emerged from the places that you visit. The term that she used was aggressive archaeology, you know, a sense that the story is embedded in the places you visit, often more so than in the conversations that you have or the books that you read. And Serene is a pure storytelling module with a lot of plot twists and characters with very well-developed personalities.
Yeah, and a little side note, storytelling modules are always really my favorite because that's what I'm really going for is, you know, yeah, and, you know, who doesn't like at moments to, you know, kill everything and let God sort them out. But, you know, it would, when it comes down to everything, it's always the story that really gets me. And this is definitely my favorite module award in Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think story is a big part of, you know, developing stuff. I mean, well, most, at least for me, at least, and you're, yeah, definitely something big for me and what I look for into, you know, if I do play single player module or develop, you know, something, it's certainly the air of what I go towards.
There's an interesting history on this that the best storytelling module actually went through a significant evolution in the AME because we didn't have the award by that name at the beginning. When we first started, it was called Best Adventure Module. And the idea was supposed to be sort of, you know, the best adventure kind of, you know, the idea was supposed to be sort of the best storytelling module, but there was a little bit of a loss of focus in some of our voting, not really understanding that what exactly is a best adventure. Well, is it the adventuring? Is it the action? Is it the story? What is it? So we decided to go to rename it to the best dramatic module to try and emphasize the story. And then finally, we just said, well, you know what? Well, let's just call it best storytelling module because that's really what we're trying to get across. And we've settled on that, and it's best storytelling module for several years. And that name, I think, really captures better than the other attempts that we had what it is that we were going for with this award, the ability to tell a story.
Yeah, I'd absolutely have to agree. And when it comes to the best storytelling modules, I find that when I'm playtesting for best storytelling, I'm much more critical than, you know, in any really other award, except for maybe tile set. It's just because, you know, there's so much out there that to choose from. And, you know, weeding out the best is sort of difficult at times.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, being a writer and being a modder who writes and builds storytelling modules, this is where my focus has always been in Neverwinter Nights modding. It's the kind of stuff that I really enjoy the most, and I also have that same reputation for being very critical, and very, you know, very very exacting on that category.
Yeah, because when I'm playing you know, a best roleplay module, I'm basically just focusing on the story and, you know, everything else is kind of secondary. But when I'm looking at a best storytelling module, I'm looking at the tile sets, how the tiles are laid out. Is the lighting correct? Is the, you know, what voices are they using for the characters? You know, when you come up with your dialogue, you know, are there multiple options? You know, I'm looking at all the placeables that they use, you know, where is it placed? Does it make sense? Is anything getting in my way of playing the module? You know, there's so many things that go into me actually critiquing the best storytelling module versus any other real module award.
That's exactly right. And in fact, it's the whole sense of creating a sense of drama in a module experience is an aspect of storytelling, and everything that you described goes into it. The visuals, the audios, you know, how well the soundtrack is developed, how well does the soundtrack integrate with the events and the action and so on. All of that this is a subject we discussed on the forums when we were talking about storytelling modules. It's not just who writes good prose. It's how do you construct a module that conveys a story in more than just the sense of, you know, what words am I reading, but what experience am I having? How does it feel? What does it make me feel as I'm playing through it, as I'm looking at it, as I'm listening to it? And that's it for the our award announcements and our finalist announcements.
Well, thanks for all that information. I mean, it's definitely good stuff to hear that. You know, and I think it helps people as well to know not only are there people still doing things, but there's people still recognizing that people are still doing things. So before we close out, is there anything else you guys would like to share with the community?
Yeah, the only thing I have to add is, again, an appeal to the members of the Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter Nights. We're looking for members. You can do as much or as little as you want. You don't have to be an expert at anything. Just have an enthusiasm for the game. And willingness to play things and work, and come and join the AME. Our website is www.ame-gda.net, and you can learn all about us and see what we've been up to.
And, well, who wants to get the honor of the closing line?
I'll do that one. So thanks for having us on, and get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.